Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Shishi Chaitanya Chandraya Mandir Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Madhava Astasaki Ki Jai. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Shaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayashu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12, The Mohini Murti Incarnation Bewilders Lord Shiva. Check text number 6. Okay. Tava. You should know that word. Tava Kara Kamala Vare. Tava. Kara. What does Kara mean? Kara, karma. Yeah. Hands. They do things. Kara. Yeah. Hands. Kara. Hands. Kamala. Lotus. Yeah, lotus hands. Yeah. Tava, your. Yeah. Your. Tava. Your. Eva. Yeah, certainly, indeed. Okay. Charana Amboja. Charana. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Huh? Lotus feet. Okay, so you know Sanskrit here. Yeah. Ta and sandhi are the rules by which you combine the sounds. So if tava is followed by ava, if an A is followed by an E, it becomes I. Tavaiva charanam bhojam. Tavaiva charanam bhojam. Shreyas kama nirashi saha. Visvijyo bayatah sangam. Munaya samupasate. Bolie. Tavaiva charanam bojam. Shreyas kama nirashisaha. Visvijyo bayata sangam. Munaya samupasate. Tavaiva charanam bojam. Shreya kamas nirashishaha. Vishyo jayayata sangam. Munaya samupasate. Tabaiva charanam bojam. Shreyas kama nirashishaha. Vishrodvaya tatasangam. Munaya samupasate. Ladies? Yeah. Tataiva charanam bojam. Shreyas kama nirashishaha. Visvijyo bayata klangam. Munaya samupasate. Tavaiva charanam bojam. Shreyas kama nirashishaha. Vishijyo bayata sangam. Munaya samupasate. Tava. Your. Eva. Indeed. Charana ambhojam. Lotus feet. Shreyaha. Kamaha. Persons desiring the ultimate auspiciousness. The ultimate goal of life. Nirashishaha. Without material desire. Vishridya. Giving up. Udbayataha. In this life and the next. Sangam. Attachment. Munayaha. Great sages. Samupasate. Worship. Tavacharanam bojam shreyas kama nirashishaha. Vishvijyo bhayata sangam. Munaya samupasate. The pure devotees are great saintly persons. This is Lord Shiva offering his prayers, glorification to Lord Vishnu. Pure devotees or great saintly persons who who desire to achieve the highest goal in life and who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. Please repeat, pure devotees or great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life and who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. Yeah. So when you hear this, do you think about another very famous verse? Okay, Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. When I heard this, I was thinking about, Wait, Bhagavad Gita? Oh, okay. Okay, so the purport probably surface. I was thinking of Atmaramas Chamunayo, Nirgranta Api Yuru Krame, Korvantiya Hoitakim Bhakti Mitam Bhuto Gunoharahe. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bhagavatam. Yeah. The Atmaramas engage in your devotional service, even though they're self-satisfied because the Lord has so many transcendental qualities, they engage in His service like that. Yeah. So there aren't that many. Our philosophy is not that complicated. You find the same ideas again and again and again and again like that. And so it's not that big, but a lot of subtleties like that. So a certain number of ideas. Okay. So let's go on purport. Now, first Prabhupada is going to talk about the material desires and materialistic people. One is in the material world when he thinks, I am this body, and everything with reference to my body is mine. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. What is that? What is 5.5.8? Who's talking? Do you know? Where's the best place for ice cream is in Chicago? have you got a map of Chicago where you know this is there, that's there? We do, right? Yeah, you got a map where things are connected, so on. So we should the same way. We should know our way around Srimad Bhagavatam. We're starting off with Bhakti Shastri, okay? Then after that, Bhakti by Baba. And then you should know the first six cantos and like that and so on. Yeah. So fifth canto, 5.5. Upadeshamrita is a great place to start. If you learn all the verses in that one, you'll be incredible. It's the first book. Everything's based on that. So 5.5.5 is an easy one to remember. Nunam Pramata Kurudevi Karma. That's, what's his name? Remember what's his name? Rishabhdev. So this is Rishabhdev talking to his sons like that. We'll go back and look at the reference. Okay. Atogri hashetra sutapta vitayar janasya mohoyam ahamameti. This is a symptom of material life. In a materialistic concept of life, one thinks, this is my house. Okay. This is my land. This is my family. This is my state. Okay. And so on. But those who are munayaha, saintly persons, which is being mentioned up above here, following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, simply engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without any personal desire for sense gratification. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anakuyena krishna anvishilanam bhakti rutama. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the Paribhasa Sutra. The Paribhasa Sutra is that which makes the whole book make sense. It's the whole structure of things. So you see Prabhupada quoting this verse again and again. So without looking, don't look. Don't you? What is the verse number? Huh? Yes. 1, 1, 1, 1. Okay? Can you remember that? Can you remember? 1.1.111. That means it's the eastern side. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? 1, the first wave. Verse number 11. So it's right in the invocation, like that. Okay? There's one very, very famous Gaudiya Math Sannyasi, won't mention his name, who was a policeman before he became a devotee, and has a very aggressive attitude. And he said one time, these ISKCON devotees don't even know the definition of pure devotional service. So one ISKCON devotee then said, Anyabhilasita sunyam ganadi karma. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. So this verse is really, I don't know how many times Prabhupada quotes this verse. Yeah. Okay. Either in this life or in the next, okay, hey, as it says here, if you look at this, you can see how Prabhupada is paraphrasing. He's taking one word after another out of the purport. Either in this life or in the next, the only concern of such saintly devotees is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'm engaging in austerities. It's cold. I'm chanting, everything else, right? Doing so many austerities here, everything else. But I'm thinking, wow, well, I hope breakfast is good. I have good breakfast, yeah. I'm out distributing books, meeting all these people like that and stuff. You know, oh, everybody's crazy. I go back with the devotees. Wow, devotees are sane, you know. So I don't want sense gratification right now, but in the future. So here it says, either in this life or in the next, the only concern of such a saintly devotee is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So pure devotional service is giving here is quite a high standard. My first temple president was a devotee named Bhaktadas. You know him? Yeah, yeah. He was from San Diego. And it was when he was initiated, Prabhupada said, your name is Bhaktadas. The more you think you are the servant in any circumstance, the more you will become happy. And the more you think you are the master, the more you will go to hell. Yeah. So materially or spiritually, if we have a service attitude, you know, we're going to be happy in life and so on. Yeah. So he said he saw some devotees, some Sankirtan devotees, was out preaching and were trying to sell books and dressed in dhoti and kurta, everything, you know. And he was a Marxist at that time, you know, Karl Marx and communism. It's back maybe like, I don't know, some 70s, you know. So he was arguing with the devotee. He was being defeated, one argument after another. And so finally, after about, you know, 5-10 minutes, he said, God, if I have any honesty whatsoever, I'll buy the guy's book, you know, because he's defeated me every one argument I've made, you know. So he bought the book, because, you know, he was convinced. Then he started reading Prabhupada's book, and he said he read all kinds of books on philosophy, yoga, this kind of stuff, you know, in Prabhupada's book, but there was something different about Prabhupada's book. Because in most of these books, you have to do austerities. You know, Karl Marx says you got to do austerities. Yogananda or somebody says you got to do austerities. But then after some time, you become the king, or you get control of the state, or you get sense gratification, right? You know. But Prabhupada's book, he just kept reading it and reading it and reading it, and it never came to the point where you enjoyed it. It kept on going with more austerity, more austerity, more austerity. Everybody else, you did austerity, but in the end, you got to enjoy. But in Prabhupada's books, you never got to enjoy. You just got one more austerity after another. You know? Yeah. So at some point, we come to this conclusion, you know, this process is killing me, right? You know, bhakti yoga is killing me. Devotional service is killing me, right? That's the whole purpose. You know, I don't want to surprise you, but this is simply a suicide club. Right? That's what you're joining. If you don't want to do that, then you can stay here. You can get sense gratification. You can do different things. You know, yeah, okay, yeah. But that's basically our whole process, right? Yeah. In the original Bhagavatam that Prabhupada had brought from India, it said that one who leaves his body by engaging in bhakti yoga, yeah. And not only are we talking about destroying our gross body, we're also talking about destroying our subtle body. At the time of death, they erase your face, right? Yeah? Are you attached to your face? Yeah, I read that. It was like, I was thinking, it's getting older, it's changing in the mirror and stuff, but even still, it's my face, you know. Yeah. So you're, and Prabhupada says, it will never exist again. It will never exist again. Wow. You know? So the subtle attachments, of course, are even more powerful than the gross attachments like that. You know? We don't think the subtle attachments are very powerful because we haven't got that far yet. Right now we're trying to give up smoking, drinking, you know, these kind of things and whatever. But you go on, and the subtle attachments go on like that. And they can penetrate for lifetimes, you know. I told a story last night, or was it yesterday, in psychology. We made it into a movie, as I remember. And there was this girl, and she was a teaching assistant, you know, for some like, you know, sixth, maybe fourth grade class or something. And maybe like four or five classes had gone to Central Park that day to have an outing, you know, from the primary school. So her teacher put her in charge of the class. And she was doing Simon Says, touch your nose, Simon Says, move your arms like this, the class event. Simon Says, walk like this. And she walked right into the lake with her clothes on. And the clothes, her kids are kind of looking, are we supposed to do that too? The teacher ran over and took the kids back, you know. And she kind of looked bewildered, okay, you know. Then sometime later, she was at the, her parents invited her to come for lunch at the Waldorf Astoria. Waldorf Astoria, big hotel restaurant in New York. So everybody was dressed up and having lunch, and then right in the middle of lunch, she's sort of pouring water from the pitcher all over the table. You know, everybody's looking at her. You know, so these things kept getting worse until finally she couldn't keep a job or anything. You know, and so then she started doing psychotherapy with a lady psychologist from Vienna in a rich house in New York. And it took time, you know, to the process and going through the mind and hypnosis and getting to trust the psychologist and stuff to deal with these things and, you know, what is this? So they went back and back. And finally, it was a childhood trauma that when she was a little girl, her father had died, right? And her mother had gone to a foreign city to take care of everything and left her with her aunt, who was kind of a little bit of a neurotic lady. And so there she is, you know, her daddy has died, her mommy's not there, she's eating strange food for breakfast with this strange lady and stuff. And there was a Pyrex pot on the stove, it's the kind of glass you boil water in, and it broke somehow or other, very rare. So her aunt came in and accused her of breaking it, you know, and she said, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't kill my daddy, you know. It's like, and then her aunt did something to chastise her, you know, that she couldn't remember. But that was why the water was there, everything else, and so on like that, you know. And she remembered the room was green, and then to try to go back and find out what was the original trauma and face it like that. So, yeah. So they got back after maybe 1 year of work to this point of being in the green room and everything else and what happened. And she's just about ready in hypnosis to then trust the psychologist to face this experience, you know, like that. So the phone rings, right? Psychologist picks up the phone and says, I can't talk with you right now. I'm at a very important point with one of my clients. I'll be right back, you know. And the girl was gone. You know? So she went out and she found her in her living room under the piano, holding on to the piano leg, totally catatonic, autistic, and she never came back again. You know? She spent the rest of her life in a mental hospital. So in the movie, the psychologist says to herself when she sees this, you know, what did that monster do in that green room? What did that monster do in that green room? This is a true story, you know. So that we have, okay, did you notice something? There's something wrong with this story. What's wrong with this story? No. There was some inconsistency in the logic here. I see if you notice it. Her father had died, right? But who invited her to go for lunch in the Waldorf Astoria? Her parents, yeah. So this had to have happened in a previous life, yeah. But it's some of these things, you know, many things you take with you. Maybe a few lifetimes they start to disappear or something. But some of the big things, the good things, we're taking them with us. In Sanskrit, this is called vasana, vasana. The song to Goranga Bolite Bahai Mora Vasana. And these are what are in our mind, in our consciousness. And we respond to different things like that, you know. Alexis, what's his name? Mother Yashoda, Yashoda's daughter. From the time she was a little girl, if some guy with a mustache would come in, you know, the baby, she'd start freaking out like, ah! That stuff, you know. Oh, can I see your baby? You got the mustache. Well, I don't think you want to, you know. So she said by the time she was maybe like about 4 years old, they'd go walking in the supermarket holding her hand, and she wouldn't start screaming when she saw a guy with a mustache. But when one went by, she could feel her daughter holding her hand tighter like that and so on. So I tell this story all over the world, you know, about previous life things. So I told her, told Alexis that I was using her as an example. She was, you know, grown up, adult, you know, grown up, teenager. And she said, yeah. She said, it's a fact. I, you know, I've kind of gotten used to it, she said, but I still would never date a guy with a mustache. So there's no genes for mustache phobia. It's not a genetic thing. I got the gene for mustache phobia. No. Oh, if you look on the YouTube for what this guy's called, prodigies. These are children who do, you know, like that. You'll find art prodigies. You'll find music prodigies. They're doing stuff that no child can do. You know, so many things like from previous lives and stuff, and also reincarnation. There's so much stuff on the YouTube, very scientific research and stuff about it. You know, so on. I think now it's considered scientifically acceptable to research, you know, reincarnation, but, you know, be careful, and you got to be twice as strict in your scientific stuff when you're doing it. You know. So this is what's happening, either in this life or the next. The only concern of such saintly devotees is to serve the Supreme Lord. So we're trying to become purified, you know, of our desires, you know, for subtle desires. You know, we may give it up for a little bit, but then we want it again, right? You go back again. One man said, I have no troubles, you know, stopping to smoke. I've stopped 25 times. I've stopped smoking. Yeah, I've given up sense gratification as a devotee. So pure devotional service is a very deep process, you know, and it involves basically suicide. But the bizarre thing is, the more you kill yourself, the more you discover you have to give. And after a while, you've given all your material body, that's finished, then you start to give your spiritual body to Krishna. And the more you give it, the more it grows, right? The more it starts to produce things you never knew you could do. And Krishna never knew you could do those things either. Okay, let's go on here. Either in this life or the next, the only concern of such saintly devotees is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, they are also absolute because they have no other desires. Yeah? Being freed from the dualities of material desire, they are called Shreyas Kamaha. So we know this word Shreya, right? Shreya and Preya, yeah. Do you know what spoken Sanskrit dot day? You know, it's very, very nice. It's all one word. Spoken Sanskrit dot de, which comes from Deutschland, which means Germany, like that, so on. So it's a very, very good resource. You put the word in, and it's a translator, a little translator. Yes, I put Shreya in, and I forget what it comes at. I think it means something like restraint or something like that. You know, here. But kama means desire. They're only desiring the ultimate goal, the highest benefit. In other words, they are not concerned with dharma, artha, kama. The only concern of such devotees is moksha. Moksha. Moksha does not refer to becoming one with the Supreme, like the Mayavadi philosophers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that real moksha means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead. The Lord clearly explained this fact while instructing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to correct the word Muktipade in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed him that there is no need to correct any word in Srimad Bhagavatam. He explained that Muktipade refers to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Muktipade, Vishnu, who offers mukti, and is therefore called Mukunda. A pure devotee is not concerned with material things. He is not concerned with religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification. He is interested only in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So, any comments about this or questions? Yes. You don't like guys with mustaches?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. This verse, Mukti Pade, that's the verse where it says a devotee tolerates his karma and patiently waits for the Lord. I believe it's that particular verse.
I don't think so. It may be, but I don't think so. He becomes Dayabak?
Yeah, Dayabak. Yeah. Tate on the compound.
I don't think so. Maybe it might be. It might be, but I don't. Yeah.
Well, I guess from another perspective, it says how we could give up sense desires. So, well, I was particularly referring to this verse, Tate no Kampam. So verses like that kind of remind me of a very nice saying I came across. The saying was, something to the extent that you can't change the cards you're dealt in life, only how you play the hand. And so we could see in the material world, as practicing devotees, when we hear the words Varnashram Dharma, Vaishnava etiquette, honoring the devotees, it's almost kind of with the expectation. It seems like an expectation could be a type of material desire, because when we hear these things, that things should go on properly, but that's kind of not the reality, because we could see in the scriptures that the great saints are like professional poker players. They're not dealt the greatest hand in life, but they know how to still, win in life. So how can we give up this tendency to expect things to go our way, even in devotional service? And because a lot of times when we expect things, then we become very dejected, when, circumstances don't go right, people don't treat us properly, etc. So can you expand on those points a little bit?
Yeah, but that's that verse, Dayabak, he goes on tolerating, things like that. Well, it's hard to hear in this room. The echo, coco is too ba 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 ba. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah. Before they bought this thing, they should have clapped their hands one time. Yeah, you can see. Yeah, it's too. It's not good for drum. Drummer should die immediately. Yeah. It's long echo. That means you hit the drum and that's still going on while you hit the next beat and stuff. So it's okay. Yeah, it's actually easier to understand you without the microphone. in the beginning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing we should tolerate things, right? We have to tolerate things like that. But as we advance in devotional service, then we see how everything is proper. Everything's in the right perspective, like that. Hanuman Purushok. Hanuman was jumping, to cross to Lanka, and he had three obstacles, interrupting his path, what he wanted to do. The first one was this mountain came up, whoop, Mainda, and he thought the mountain was trying to block his path. But all she was trying to do was give him a place to rest, like that. So she was actually trying to help him, and he thought it was an impediment, okay? So he thanked her and touched his foot on her and said, thank you, okay. So sometimes the impediments, we stop and look at them, we start with this attitude that there are no impediments, right? If we can get that attitude, and if we can see it. So sometimes the impediments aren't impediments, it's just that some of Krishna is trying to help us. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. And so many times in devotional service, you may discover that, you're fighting something for some time, and then finally you realize this is a good thing. Yeah. Okay. And the second obstacle was, what was it called? Was Mainaka? Surasa. And Surasa was some kind of sea monster that tried to catch him or something, and this and that. So she was a test. Right? She wasn't there to help him, she was there to test him. The demigods wanted to see if, what kind of potency he had, because they're hiding from Ravana, and they come out and help, but they want to see if Ram can actually handle this, if Hanuman can actually handle this. So the second obstacle was a test, right? Who makes tests in the Srimad Bhagavatam? What tests have we seen? Yeah, it was a test. Some devotee is tested. Huh? Yeah. His determination was tested? No, I don't know. Oh, that's yaksha prashna. In the Bhagavatam, somebody's determination was tested. He was
going to break his fast for some days.
Yeah.
And then Vijayamagas disguised himself as a beggar.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gave all his attention
to him. I think he even gave his body or something, you know. Yeah, his family. Yeah, I think it was Ranti Dev? Maybe. Dhruva Maharaj, right? Little boy, he was going off. He met Narada Muni, and Narada Muni said, I'll go home and play. This kind of stuff, you know. He said, well, I'm going to go ahead. And he said, all right. Just seeing if you're determined or not. So it may happen quite a few times, and, you know, in Krishna's testing to see if, you know, like that. So sometimes the obstacles are actually a thing for our benefit. Sometimes they're tests, and we have to go ahead politely. The last one, Simica, actually was a monster. and he, you know, she swallowed him, and he cut her to pieces and came out and killed her. Okay. So third thing is we can just be utsahan nishchayad darya. We can be enthusiastic and determination. And all the obstacles, we can surpass them. You know, we can you know, go around them, avoid them, go ahead. Uttamadhikari sees everything favorable for Krishna. Majjhimadhikari sees problems, but he's expert at avoiding them. You know, Majjhimadhikari is expert at avoiding the demons, avoiding demoniac situations. So become very flexible, you know. Lord Brahma tells Narada Muni, because I have grabbed a hold of the lotus feet of Vishnu with great zeal, you know, the forward progress of my mind has never been impeded, and my senses have never been degraded by temporary contact with matter. So that's the whole point. If we're utsahan nishchayad daryat, if we always keep enthusiastic, and then you won't be frustrated. Frustrated, you take a ray and you rotate it, you get a cone, right? Okay. So two rays make a frustum on a cone. So frustrated means I want to do this, but I'm being forced to do this. So I'm becoming frustrated. So we won't become like that. You know, we'll always be able to keep the goal, right? And find some way to accomplish it. Yeah? 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 Yeah?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You mentioned the test with Dhruva Maharaj, where Narada Muni says, go home and play.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a very powerful test, because he could think, yeah, this is kind of crazy. I'm going to go to a mountain and do some extreme austerity. Maybe it's a bit crazy. And you were speaking about enthusiasm. And I'm remembering from the Upadeshamrita, Prabhupada defines enthusiasm as endeavoring with intelligence. So when we have that test where we maybe think, actually, this is maybe a bit crazy, but at the same time, we want to endeavor with intelligence so we don't go off the deep end there.
Yeah.
So how to balance that? How to see the test soberly, with a sober mind?
Yeah, that's the first thing. You know, Prabhupada says in 434, yad yadak, no, what's it go? What's the first word? Tadvidi pranipatena. By approaching, you understand the absolute truth by approaching the spiritual master. In the purport, he says, blind faith and absurd inquiry are condemned. So blind faith is condemned. You know, condemned, not just like undesirable. And many times people, that's what they mean by faith. Faith means, you know, means blind faith. No, it means informed, exactly. So our faith, our determination should always be based upon intelligence. Utsahan is action executed in Krishna consciousness with intelligence, like that. The intelligence then can be divided into two parts. You know, that you know the goal and you know how to get it. I know the goal, but I can never get it. Oh, okay, like that and so on. But if you know, oh yeah, this is what I'm trying to do. Okay, now, you know, and you keep re-examining. Is obstacles are here, this and that. Is the goal proper? Is it good? You know, yeah, you're convinced. you know, about the goal. Well, maybe it's not so good. Maybe I can change, or I should change, or something, you know, like that. Yeah. And so, what do I want? You know? And then how can I obtain it? Okay, I can't do that. You know, temple president has changed. Temple president's a madman. I can't work with this temple president. Okay, well, whatever. You know, I got my legs blown off in something accident. You know, yeah. So, but now I get a new process by which I can accomplish this. You're enthusiastic. Yeah, I got a goal and I got a process. A goal that motivates me, and I can do it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, one thing here. Let's go look at this Rashab Davis quote here. It's always nice to follow the citations. It's also nice to close your eyes and see if you can, if you know them, if you can refresh them. You know, if you just, the Bhagavad Gita verses, you've taken Bhakti Shastri, you've memorized your verses, now I passed the test, now I can forget about it. I don't have to read Prabhupada's books for two years. No. The most important thing is after Bhakti Shastri, you develop a desire to study more. And also you develop good association, you know, your study partners, friends like that. Now let's do Bhakti Bhai Bhava together. Okay. You know. So, if you just take the verses that Prabhupada quotes and read them, don't just kind of skip over the Sanskrit, but actually read them, maybe see if you know it from memory, make a note to study it later on, then it's just a wonderful study guide. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is a fantastic study guide for Bhagavad Gita, because if you do that, you'll be chanting and be doing the verses that Prabhupada uses the most. So automatically you'll be, you know, picking them out and stuff like that and so on. So the books are, you know, as you go ahead, it automatically reinforces what you learned before. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. I push the button here, it shows up. Pumsastriya mituni bhavam etam. Rishab Davis instructions, they're heavy. Tayor mito hridaya grantim ahuh. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitayar. Janasya moho yam aham mameti. Yeah. This is 5.5.8. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Okay. Anybody here attracted to the opposite sex? Raise your hand. My goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Prabhupada said, I've been a sannyasi for many years. He said, but I still think about my activities, my former wife. He said, this is natural. He said, but I don't go back. That is intelligence. Yeah. So it's natural. As long as we have a body and we're in like an ordinary bodily concept of life, not like Sukadeva Goswami walking around like... naked with no clothes on, smiling, walking down the street, you know? Yeah, you know? Then we're going to have, that's it. That's how material world works, you know? You can't preach to people unless you're on their level of, you know, communication. You got to be existing in the same room, see their nose and their face and stuff, you know? Yeah? So as long as we're on that level, you know, then automatically there will be an attraction between male and female. That's the glue that makes the whole thing work, you know? Okay. Sex desire as the natural attraction between man and woman, boy, serves as. And when they are married, okay, now that's the point we can avoid like that, pretty much, you know. Of course, Prabhupada says all girls should be married and all men should stay single. He says this is the one flaw in our philosophy. One flaw in our philosophy. He said, but don't worry, it'll get worked out like that, you know, okay. Yeah, yes. They have a strange philosophy. Yeah. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. Okay? This is called hridaya granta, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo. Even though a man and woman separate, either for the principles of Varna Ashram or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus a person becomes materially attached to family, property, children. Although all these things are temporary, the possessor unfortunately identifies with his property and wealth. Okay, this is nice. I always remember this one now. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a certain temple, to a temple, or to the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. In the New Yorker magazine, they have good jokes, right? You know? So he shows this little man praying, and he says, "Oh Lord, I do not desire much, but I do desire that whatever I have should be of good quality." So this is, gotta hear my Birkenstock shoes. This is sannyasi, Birkenstock shoes, Halliburton briefcase, silk dhoti. It's like, you know. So Prabhupada says, you know, sometimes even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple, right, or to the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. I mean, Prabhupada says, but it's nothing like the attachment in householder life. Sannyasis meditate on their shoes and their luggage. How can I get a pair of shoes that slip on, slip off? They're good in all kinds of weather, like that, and so on. How to get a bag that I can go through the airport and pull my stuff out and put it back in and everything else, you know, all this kind of stuff. It won't be attractive to thieves, you know, it's like. But grihasthas meditate on their cars and their house and their houses, right? How can I get a car, this and that, how the house and stuff and so on. So it keeps expanding. Okay. The attachment to family life is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Samhita it is stated, okay? Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps the husband, helps for further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of marital relationships, and consequently they forget their relationship with Krishna. So this is the citation there. So this is what Shiva is saying to Lord Vishnu. He's talking about different kinds of people, and these are the kind of people who have no material desires and they only want to serve Krishna life after life, like that and so on. And it's a very, very elevated position, like that. We're talking about what it is and so on. But the thing is, even if you don't achieve it all in one lifetime, it's such a nice thing that any progress is very wonderful. Probably we're here because in previous lifetime, you know, we were attracted. Right? Sunday feast. Prabhupada was looking at everybody and said, some of you in your last lifetimes were great yogis and yoginis, and now you're attracted to this movement. And others of you were great gods and goddesses, and now you're attracted. And the rest of you are just fortunate. Kind of stumbled in. So yeah, people are here. Sometimes usually for previous thing like that and so on, you know. So now let's make some more progress, right? Doing sankirtan without personal desire, and then it becomes so potent. You know, people realize this guy's not out to sell me something for his purpose. Everything else, he can realize that. You know, this guy is really, you know, out for my benefit. Bhakta Paul Ignosa took initiation as Prahlad Nrisimha right before he died. He was a really young, cool guy, and during the time when Prabhupada was in New York, starting the movement, and he was part of the theater scene, and he was a clean guy, but you know, it's all the stuff happening. So he told me he was walking down the street and he heard this, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you know. And these guys in bed sheets and stuff turned the corner, and there was this old Indian guy walking in front of them. And he read like, you know, the Greenwich newsletter or whatever. He said, oh, it's you know, it's the Hare Krishnas and their guru, you know, and so on. So he said Prabhupada walked past him and looked at him, and he looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at him, and he went on. And that was the bija, that exchanges of glances. That was kept him in line for the next 20 years before he finally surrendered, you know, initiated devotee. So Prabhupada looked at him, you know, and he could understand, this guy doesn't want anything from me. I don't have to, like, be careful. He's just, like, you know, totally undetached person. And he's deep. He's got depth, you know. So Prabhupada looked at him, you know, and Prabhupada's glance, so he opened himself up, kind of looking at Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada kind of like nodded, and what the glance meant was, you're not happy, why don't you join us, you know? So from a very deep platform he responded, yes, it's true, but I still have a few options, like that, you know, like that. And so Prabhupada kind of nodded, which meant, all right, you know, but if it don't work out, we're here, like that. And so it's just like, yeah, so very, you know, people, you can reach them and stuff in the book distribution and stuff. That's what it becomes like that. It becomes a very natural thing. Any final questions or comments here? It's time for breakfast. So Papa Ki Jai. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Ki Jai. Back home, back to Godhead. Wow. Namamishvaram Satchit Ananda Rupam Vasat Kundalam Gokule Vajamanam.